Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Coming up on Film Week at 11 o'clock, we'll hear what our critics Tim Cogshell and Christy Lemire have to say about the new action thriller Wrath of Man, directed by Guy Ritchie and starring Jason Statham. Billy Crystal stars in, directs, and co-wrote Here Today. Co-starring Tiffany Haddish, we'll find out about that comedy. And the kung fu action comedy The Paper Tigers. Three middle-aged former kung fu prodigies look to get their edge back and to avenge the death of their master. That comes up on Film Week as well, the 11 o'clock hour, right here on KPCC. Right now, though, we turn our attention to what's happening with employment here in Southern California, where this morning we got a very disappointing national report. Job growth in the U.S. slowed sharply in April. The economy added just 266,000 new positions, and that despite analysts projecting a million or more jobs would be created. So the jobless rate edged up to just over 6% from 6% in March. So the question is, you know, what's going on here? Because if you just talk anecdotally with business owners, from restaurants to retail stores to all kinds of places, they can't find enough people to come in and work at the job. So why is the mismatch? With us, Senior Director of the Center for Regional Economics and California Center at the Milken Institute here in Los Angeles, Eugene Cornelius Jr. Sir, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So what's going on? Why this seeming mismatch?
Well, there's a couple of variables in that report that that has not been pulled out. And you have to look at the fact that people, though we are increasing our vaccination rate, and like people are not comfortable coming into the workplace where in-person work is required for fear of catching the virus. And so there's a lot of hesitancy about going back to work. There's also the variant of women. Women having health care and child care and elderly care limitations and what's available with school closing and school timing verifications, which don't allow women to go back to the workforce in full employment. So they are coming out of the, you know, 18% of moms are considering leaving the workforce altogether. And a half of the women workforce have quit their jobs because of school and daycare closures. So you got to look at those factors. You also have to look at industries. When you are talking about the unemployment, you're talking about the jobs that are out there, manufacturing, construction, transportation. Those are in-person jobs. And that fear that I was speaking of contacting the virus and being next to people really plays in that. Now, I believe the unemployment benefits, the additional $300 a week unemployment benefits, has a small participation in there. Not so much as people may think that it has, because it really only affects those people who are making less than $30,000 or more or less. You know, it as far as staying home and making more money versus going into work.
Couldn't it, though, even if it's not making more money, could it be that if the unemployment benefits are enough to cover, you know, just survive on, to cover the basics, that for now, because of the reasons you're citing, childcare issues, fear of contracting COVID-19, that is enough for people then to discourage them from entering the workplace and they'll get by on less?
Well, we're seeing very little. I'm sure there's anecdotal cases of that, But we're really seeing, when you look at the polls and when you look at the numbers and the job seekers and what, you see that plays very little participation in that decision. What you are seeing is, on the other end, when you talk about the older workers, you're seeing the calculation and the compensation of Social Security and early retirement and people looking at that and removing themselves from the workforce on that end. You're really not seeing that on the unemployment end, as far as unemployment benefit end.
Well, we are seeing significant numbers of baby boomers close to 65 who are looking at leaving early.
Yes, we are. We have in non-pandemic workforce issues of age discrimination and limitations on work when it comes to aging. You're seeing these older displaced workers now saying, is it really worth me being older, being more vulnerable to the virus? Is it really worth my health and my mental state to go back into the job market and go look for a job? Or is it better for me to just cut my losses and look at my employment benefits and take a reduction in Social Security or retirement and just stay at home? And that quality of life is playing into that decision very strongly.
Well, and probably there's the issue also, Eugene, of people who, you know, the nature of their work has changed as a result of it going remotely, if it was able to convert to remote work, and that may be a disincentive as well, I would think.
Well, that is, in a sense, but like I said earlier, when we talk about these numbers and the fear of the virus, we're mostly talking about industries that are in-person industries. But you touch on something else that is very key, and that is COVID has rapidly, with its remote job locations and workplace, has intensified where we were going with technology in the workplace. And because that has intensified, you're seeing some of these jobs requiring talents and skills and transferable skills that our workers prior to the pandemic really are lacking. And we have to really focus on how we educate and train our talent going forward. The future of work is changing and is here, and the virus has accelerated its delivery.
We just have news I think you'll find interesting. Eugene Cornelius Jr., Senior Director of the Milken Institute Center for Regional Economics and California Center. The new census data on California's population show California population fell by more than 182,000 for the last year, 2020. That is the first yearly drop for the nation's most populous state. I assume when they're saying that, that means ever, Eugene. That's what it sounds like, that we have never had a drop in California's overall population. For 2020, it's 182,000.
Well, in our recorded history, yes, that would be said. Now, you're matching that with the fact that California has 1.5 million fewer jobs because of COVID as well. So when you look at the fewer jobs and the fewer people who are leaving California, you see that we have a significant issue here. However, having said that, who are those people who are leaving? We got to look at that. Is this the blue collar worker? Is this the white collar worker? Is this the highly skilled or trained? Is this portable jobs? For an example, if you remote and you're working from home and you decide you don't want to live in high areas like San Francisco or something like that, are you moving to Oregon? Are you moving to Idaho and you're still employed in California?
So again, we've seen over the past number of years a dramatic slowing in the growth of California. Now we find out that the population in the state is down 182,083 people for the year 2020. We're at 866-893-KPCC. I'd like to hear from you. If you're someone who lost your employment during the pandemic and you've been reluctant to go back, What are the reasons for that? What have you been weighing in that decision? Maybe it was really no choice for you because you needed to be home to take care of your child who was going to school remotely. Maybe you're weighing economic issues. Maybe it's concern over contracting COVID-19. Perhaps you're looking at changing your career, and this is what gave you the nudge to do what it takes to do specialized training or go back to school. 866-893-KPECC. I'm also interested in hearing from employers. If you're having a difficult time hiring at your business, this actually gives you a chance to mention your business on the air and let tens of thousands of people know that you have openings. You're looking to hire. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. We're talking with economist Eugene Cornelius Jr., Senior Director of Milken's Center for Regional Economics and the California Center, 866-893-KPECC. So since I bring up this issue of education and even vocational training, do you think that this is an area that we need to reemphasize and particularly maybe de-emphasizing college degrees?
Absolutely. This is the time for us to really look at how we're educating the future of workforce. And we need to look at, because of the skills, because of the technology, because of the AI, and everything that's coming into play, is traditional four-year colleges really for everyone? Not to say that they're not, should not exist and they should be altered and changed, but what other alternatives do we have? Is there really training programs that are 6 months or even 3 months? Should we be looking more at revamping the community colleges for vocational trainings? These things is really the good time for us to really reassess these things, because we have these 22 million people out of work. We have in California, United States, we have 14%, 14 million that has of those jobs that have been recovered. So that's still over 10 million jobs that are still out there. And we still have the number of people who don't have jobs. What are we missing? What is the transferable skills? How can we train them? Can we train them quickly? And what is that ROI, return on investments, of those training programs? I think this is the time to look at those.
What about increasing wages to be able to deal with this mismatch? I mean, if that happens, is that a silver lining out of this challenge? Obviously, prices are likely to go up in response to that, and there are a lot of concern being expressed lately about coming inflation. But would it make sense that wages are just going to have to rise because of the mismatch?
I would be careful there. I think that we have to look at, demand is very high right now because we're coming out of this crisis. However, supply is going to catch up with that demand. Supply is delayed because a lot of manufacturing was put on hold and our supply chain was completely disrupted. And we have to remember, no matter how we're moving in the United States, internationally, this still is a global economic disaster and is disrupting our supply chain. I would say that where we are right now is in the job report that came out today, which was totally low and unexpected. I think that's going to change significantly in the next 2 to 3 months. So I would not be so excited or interested in looking at that right now. I would wait that out.
All right. Let's talk with Kyrie in Riverside. Kyrie, I understand that you lost your job as a personal trainer because of the pandemic. So what are you weighing now about going back to work?
So I and a lot of my friends, as I mentioned, I don't have a college degree, but a lot of my friends do bachelor's, master's, or are in grad programs now. But I decided that I'd rather work for myself. At 24 Hour Fitness, 80% of my sales was taken by 24 Hour Fitness, and I was left with 20%. So, the nature of the pandemic, losing that job, and I didn't receive any communications from the company for 3 months. And at 3 months in July or May, I believe, they told us that half my coworkers had been let go from the company due to restructuring from the bankruptcy that they had gone through. And then 3 months later was the next time I received a communication from them.
Yeah.
So it felt like disrespect.
Yeah. And Kyrie, I appreciate you sharing it. We're just a little short on time. But so what do you think when you say business for yourself as a personal trainer, are you thinking of changing careers?
Both. I'm in the process of buying equipment to have a gym in the garage so I can train my clients.
Great.
And I'm going back to school.
Very good. Kyrie, we wish you all the best. Thanks so much. Let me take another just quick calls here. Sophia in Long Beach, I understand you're an HR professional. So share with us what happened with your job and what you're looking at about going back.
I actually am a mid-level HR professional, and I was the person that had to lay off many people at the March 2020 deadline. Many people were laid off, and then I actually was too. And so that was the real pivotal moment where I realized how bad things were going to get. When you let HR go, you know that the gavel is really falling, right? And so at that time, I was waiting for the dust to settle. And now I'm at the point where I'm looking for work again, but I'm seeing two things happen. I'm seeing that there's a range of position that either is so high, like a vice president level HR position that's becoming available, or it's an assistant, which is out of my wage range of where I'd be able to live. So then it becomes, okay, do I want to do a temporary position and potentially not be able to get state help through EDD because the system is broken? Or do I want to take the position and hope for the best and maybe they hire me and then I'm stuck at a level of pay that I still can't afford to live? So I did hear earlier in the show that you were saying that there's this exodus of people moving out of the state. I'll actually be included in that number simply because there is no viable employment that you can afford to live.
Oh, Sophia, we're sorry to hear you're leaving California, but it's understandable given the economics that you're describing. We wish you all the best. Thank you for sharing that challenge of being caught betwixt and between on the kinds of jobs that are available. Let's talk with John in Pasadena. I understand you're a bassist. So, you know, gigs, of course, dried up for musicians, I know. So where are you at career-wise?
Yeah, John, I actually I fell back on my prior career. March 2020, I had a big world tour lined up, and we were joking around in rehearsals maybe a week before lockdown. We're like, oh, I wonder if this coronavirus is gonna hamper our tour. Little did we know, 1 week later, everything was going to come to a grinding halt. So actually, I went back to my old career in the fire service. I put myself through paramedic school. And now I am a firefighter recruit for one of the local agencies here going
out. John, that's right. And so you're Grammy award-winning bassist and gone through the whole paramedic training program. Wow. What an experience. So you're a touring bassist. You're on a number of recordings, obviously, as well. Are you still performing or looking to perform when venues reopen?
You know, it's funny, taking a step back from the music industry kind of made me just kind of open my eyes at, it's a real grind. Even, being at the level where I was, it is a constant hustle. Not to say that firefighting is not a hustle, but it's nice to have a change of pace. I'll still do some things here and there, but it's funny. I miss it and I don't miss it. This whole pandemic really forced my hand, in a really good way, to kind of, go back and do what I started out doing when I was much younger, let alone it's a little tougher now. I'm 36, so it's, I'm not the youngest youngest in the bunch of...
But still young enough to do this for many years. John, we wish you the best. Thank you so much. And David Covina said, I'm having a hard time hiring people. We're in the service industry of a location in Monrovia. Dave, you speak for so many people that we're hearing from. We're just having a very, very difficult time being able to find employees. Eugene Cornelius Jr. of the Milken Institute Center for Regional Economics and California Center, thank you, sir, for being with us. We so appreciate it, and I take the positive news, what you said, that in the next couple months you expect to have some better job reports here. Thank you, sir, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. You're listening to Air Talk on KPCC. When we come back, we'll check in on what's happening on the Navajo Reservation, where about half of the Navajo Nation resides, in what's highly rural area of the Four Corners region. We're going to talk about an area that's been devastated by COVID-19 with two large surges, but it now has a very high vaccination rate. We'll talk about how that's been accomplished in an area you might think would be very challenging to do. That. We'll be back in 90 seconds.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.